The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Monday. I made it again. I tell you, the weekend went by in about 8 hours. It's crazy. It's all nuts. And if you ever want to see, by definition, a geopolitical, we'll call it just for fun, presidential freak show of a circus, just go back and look at the last week or two of what's been going on here. How the American people can stomach the drivel they're being force-fed is preposterous to me. It's just absurd. So you've got Diaper Joe Biden, who should be in Shady Acres, should have been in there several years ago. He's dangerous. He's that incompetent. He's a marionette. We know that. Bathhouse Barry is pulling his strings, and Barry's strings are being pulled by others that we won't even identify here, because they don't want their names out, and we don't even know their names, but it's all controlled, all of it, all of it. And I really do feel there's an argument to be made that we're really now awfully close to something irrevocably uncoverable happening to us all. Uncoverable, recoverable. We're not going to get over this. Something big is coming, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it'll be in pieces, but the lid is coming down, and the floor is being dismantled. So figure that geometry out. This is not good out there. Hello, Don. What the hell did you do this weekend?
Hey, Jeff. Not too much. You know, I don't lead that exciting life. I watched Three Stooges on Saturday with some family.
Good for you.
We do that every Saturday. That's they never get old. And I certainly watched the Two Stooges, I guess, debating on Thursday. And that was entertaining.
Why do they even get away with calling it a debate? Come on. they even admitted now that Diaper Joe got the questions in advance. Come on. Not that he could memorize
anything.
Imagine
how bad he'd done if he didn't. He was, I don't know what it meant.
That was soft euthanasia of a political figure on international TV. They put him to sleep permanently. Yeah. He's done. And that was all. You can see where this is going. The only question is, will it be Big Mike, Gavin Gruesome, or Hillary? She's still in it. Believe me. Don't count her out. Yeah. Remember, she almost won. She almost. Yeah. She feels like she's owed. And maybe in their perverted, satanic, corrupt world, that'll find some friendly ears. Whatever has been done has already been scripted. So we all know that.
she's given them decades of service. I mean, you know, they should for the cause. I mean, she's
right.
She's done all she could. Yeah, I don't know what they're planning to do, but it was interesting to see all the mainstream media jumping all over it afterwards and saying, you know, basically saying he's got to go. But then by the next day, suddenly they were kind of regathering, and
his family is now urging him not to quit and all this crap. And I had that one story. Did you see the story that alleges that Jill Biden, who is really running that dead man walking, is demanding for him to leave? She's demanding a $2 billion library. $2 billion presidential library.
I heard that.
For
yeah.
what? 4 years of mental incompetence? $2 billion to house that? And then on top of that, she wants a full pardon for everything that might come of this for all the family. And then she wants a $100 million book deal. $100 million. So just to get rid of him.
Yeah, well, having published 10 books myself, I tell you that nobody in today's world, Dr. Joe Biden or no one, is going to sell, $100 million books. So that's just absolutely ridiculous. But that's the kind of stuff the publishing industry, I guess, writes it off.
That's overt bribery is what it is. It just she's demanding it. Self-serve bribery.
Well, she's come a long way from being the young, nubile babysitter that originally got Creepy Joe's... caught his attention way back in the day.
Am I remembering that just now, that I'd forgotten she was the babysitter?
Yeah, she was the babysitter. She was Hunter's babysitter. Yeah, she was.
That's
indeed.
Right. I forgot about that. It's too much in my head. Whatever. She's still babysitting. She never got over it.
No, and they're now she's babysitting Joe. Yeah, people don't know, you know, the extent of the Biden. I mean, we have the Bush crime family, the Clinton crime family, but the Biden crime family has more members in it. People don't know. I wrote an article for American Free Press last week that talked about, people like his brother, Frank, who no one talks about.
No, you don't hear about Frank.
No, well, Frank has quite a record. He's got several DWIs, including one that was a fatality. He stole some tapes at a Blockbuster. I mean, this is when he was older too. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever happens to the guy. He's got another niece too. He's got a niece that has had several DWIs, assaulted a police officer. I mean, nothing happens. And of course his daughter, Ashley, who, was driven into a drug addiction and promiscuity by the inappropriate showers that
destroyed
Joe
her life.
She also has quite the criminal record as well. So it's nothing to be proud of. It really, it doesn't get reported at all. I mean, you know, they'll badmouth, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump for, going big game hunting. But, there's nothing about this stuff. And it's really remarkable, not to mention Hunter, of course, too, because we'll never know that, what the extent of his crimes are. And I'd still like to know, the alt media doesn't even mention it anymore. But when that laptop first came out, I don't know if Giuliani mentioned it or not, but it was mentioned in the alt media originally that there was a filmed rape of a 10-year-old Chinese girl by Hunter Biden on it.
I remember.
And I don't know what happened to that. I guess the same place you remember Anthony Weiner's laptop, where it supposedly had rumors were that Hillary Clinton was torturing a kid or something, or doing something to a kid. That was the rumor. I don't know. We've never seen it. So who knows? And also on the Hunter Biden laptop, we know that his niece, who was 14 at the time, his biological niece, that, she was, apparently there was some inappropriate stuff on there with her. She was naked and what would be categorized as child pornography as anybody else. So, but nobody, even the alt media, they never mentioned it. Now it's all, prostitutes and crack. Okay, we know that, but what about the child rape? What about the niece, the underage niece? And so this is the way even the alt media doesn't tell you the entire truth about that. But anyway, we'll never... That laptop.
Well, we need to just rewind very slightly and reset here. The alt media is now at least, and I would say more, corrupt, rotten, and penetrated than the mainstream media. It is completely owned by big tech, big money, and big Zionism. End of story. Completely owned. I'm, and a handful of others have been around for a while, And we're probably the last of the Mohicans. I mean, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
I was talking to David, my friend, David Icke. I've known David for 35 years. He's going to come on soon and again. And he's got a new book coming out in September. And he mentioned that he's spent several chapters in the book. And we've talked about this, he and I, many times, trying to disclose the fact that the alt-news media is as corrupted and rotten as anything could be. And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. It's going to be a big part of the book, though.
No, and it's a shame because obviously you have to build an alternative media to to try to counter what we have. But those of us that haven't been co-opted, I mean, you can, you know, it makes it, because I mean, I can't believe that they all have been bought out. Maybe they have, but you know, instantly when you see that somebody grows a big audience, because I know how hard it is to grow a big audience. I mean, with the shadow bands and the little tricks they play, they really hold you down. And when I see somebody suddenly that has, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter or something, it's like, I just instantly think it's not legitimate.
Oh, come on. And here comes overnight out of nowhere, for example, and there are many examples, Beef Stew Peters out of nowhere with virtually no radio background, allegedly a few dozen podcasts with some big fat guy named Richard Leonard. Well, I shouldn't say big fat. He's just big. At any rate, that was his whole CV. Those were his credentials. And he's got this two-hour worldwide platform, or 3 hours. All of a sudden, there he is. If you can't figure that out, you really shouldn't even pay attention to any of this. You got to be able to figure out the basics. These people are placed, all of them.
Yeah, well, that's what, you know, that's what it looks like, is that, you know, those of us, they don't mind if you have a limited platform. I have a very limited platform, and they... I mean, I'm growing on Substack, but it's very slowly. You know, it's like the tortoise and the hare. You know, and you can tell I'm not getting any help from it because it's gradual.
No, and honestly, as long as you stay at that level, you'll be safe. They don't care. You're just looked upon as local color, and just, you know, another kook, whatever.
Yeah, because unfortunately, people, and I say this all the time, is that if I had money and. I've known authors that do have money that I can guarantee did this. If I had the kind of money, then I would buy 5,000-10,000 copies of whatever book I had just put out, and at one time, and that would instantly you know, take it up to number one on Amazon, because you know nobody buys 10,000 copies at one time of any book, and that would suddenly make it, you know, right up there, and it would make the New York Times bestseller list too, and. People are followers. The vast majority of people are followers. Once they saw that, then you'd get a bunch of real sales. Oh, that's, you know, that's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. I have to buy that. And that's why it's a great investment. But of course, you know, the average person doesn't have that kind of money. You know, if you're talking about, you know, my new book, American Memory Hall, I think is going to list for $32 or something like that. So you do the math, you know, 32 times 10,000. You know, you're talking about a significant investment, but if you had that kind of money, you can do it. And that's what, you know, the only way I think to circumvent, maybe, and I don't know if anybody who has that kind of money is not controlled by them too, but that theoretically is a way that you could at least get in there, and then they might come and make you an offer you can't refuse. But I just know that those of us that don't have that kind of extra money, there's no other way to do it. Cause I mean, I hear from people, I'm sure you do too, all the time. And, most of them are struggling. You know, most of them are struggling out there.
Yeah. That's right. And we haven't seen the worst of it. Not even close.
No. So we all fantasize about, well, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, an eccentric, multimillionaire took an interest in us, you know, but none have yet. And that would come and do, oh, you know.
Well, you know, the funny part of it is, and there are others. We're not alone. There are a few other good people out there, of course. But if there was a multimillionaire out there who could cut you a check to underwrite your writing, mm-hmm. your book creations, that would be money extremely well spent for them. And it wouldn't be a pocket change, not even. He just writes you a check. Here's $100,000. This is for your book publishing for the next 5 years, whatever.
That would be it. It would be, you know, it would be some, they'd have to truly believe, you know, they'd have to believe, okay, we want to give this person a bigger platform, and it's not going to happen
right.
organically, because the system is designed right. to not happen. I mean, whenever you see, you know, I wrote Survival of the Richest, and I know how unlikely any Horatio Alger stories are, you know, because some listeners might not know Horatio Alger was
unlikely.
A fictional character.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, and they were trying to paint and the American dream is, you know, this rags to riches story that we're, you know, and back then, 100 some years ago, it could happen. So you did have some Horatio Alger story, but it was still rare then, but it's impossible now outside of the world
now,
of sports.
Forget it. Unless you're, you know, 6'10", black,
right,
240
right,
pounds,
right.
You got a good chance.
Yeah.
That's the
truth. That's the only kind of upward mobility that you
put
get.
Put the round rubber ball through the round steel hoop. Yeah. And you're set.
Yeah. So that's the only...
What's that? Wait. Now, hold on. The Dodgers have a Japanese player who actually has a translator with him in the dugout at all times. And they paid this guy. He's got a $700 million contract. It's getting damn close to $1 billion for a ball player.
Yeah, that's the guy who they're calling... I mean... He's not at Babe Ruth's level, but he's the first player since Babe Ruth that pitches and plays the field and does both pretty well. I mean, not to Babe Ruth's level, but so that's why you'd think if you made that kind of money, take some English lessons so you can sign autographs for the kids or something.
So he's a home run hitter too, I read. He's leading the majors as a DH in home runs. That's pretty remarkable.
He pitches too. So that's why I said nobody. That's why you want to know what a great player Babe Ruth was. No, I didn't think anybody else could ever do that until this guy came along. But he's not. You know, Ruth was an incredible pitcher. Would have been a Hall of Fame pitcher. And then of course he rewrote the record books when he started playing the field all the time. But so to me, there's no. Of course, he never gets mentioned because he's white. But unquestionably, I think the greatest figure in the history of sports. He just revolutionized everything. They're larger than life, but again, nobody will ever say that, but I will. But that's the and every penny of that $700 million to be guaranteed. That's the great thing about baseball.
It's guaranteed.
And basketball.
It is. I don't know anything about it, but I just saw the figure.
Every
all guaranteed.
Penny.
How funny!
Funny. Just imagine that. So he could suck. He could suddenly, you know, he could suddenly blow out his arm. Now they have to take insurance policies out for that. Or he just could suddenly get in a slump. I mean, you know, these athletes.
Or he could line up for his Pfizer injection.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he could do that. And if he's Asian, he probably trusts the system, you know. And they have some insurance policies against that. But they're, you know, and they've done that before in the past when you had Gene Autry, the old movie star, when he owned the California Angels, and George Steinbrenner, the Yankees, people like that, when they were giving these ridiculous contracts to players going back to the 70s and 80s for the time that weren't that good. And they got burned over and over again. I mean, they had some players that they were paying, you know, 5 years after they retired because they just burned out.
I vaguely remember these kinds of stories. There were a number of them. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, every penny is guaranteed of the kind. Same thing in basketball. Football is not. Although football is now starting to be more like the other two. They're starting to give ridiculous contracts to some of these players, and it's mind-boggling. And for an old sports guy like me, I mean, before my time, but I heard stories about back in the day when the NFL players and Major League Baseball players would take jobs in the off season. They would work regular jobs. Because they didn't pay that much and they weren't getting paid in the offseason. And fans could relate to them a lot more because they weren't making that much more than they were. Now, how does a fan relate to that Ohtani? Well, first of all, they can't even communicate with him because he doesn't speak English. But how do you relate to somebody that's $700 million? I've done the math in my books about how long, you know, how many centuries it would take a working man to make that kind of money. And, you know, hearing you making that for something like, you know, baseball, it's ridiculous, but it's part of that, that system. And, you know, money does talk.
Say baseball has been very, very good to me in Japanese.
That's right. Chico Squill. Yeah, it definitely has been very, very good to him. I didn't realize it was that much. I don't, and that's why, you know, baseball, I have
that's
always
pushing
loved
$1 billion. Come on. That's just nuts.
Yeah. And they will eventually have a $1 billion contract. Obviously, they're not close to it. And yeah. I don't even know how they do it. I guess they still, baseball has 162 games, you know, scheduled. So they have 81 home games. So they, if they draw decently, and I guess fans are still going to the games, I guess they can make it up that way. I don't know. It doesn't seem like the NBA, for instance, is I don't know what kind of business model that is, because I know that corporate America keeps that afloat. There just aren't that many fans that are interested or can afford it, but they keep it artificially up there with the ESPN giving it excessive coverage and stuff. That's a whole thing. One day I'll write a book about sports, and that's in me, but that'll be the toughest one to get published, because just right. The racial element alone, you would not believe the racial favoritism and the lies, you know, the myths about athletic stereotypes and things like that. And they're all lies. Believe me, I can back it up too with stats, and people would be astonished, because conservatives believe that as much as liberals do.
And, all right. So you got a white and a black coming out of college baseball. This is take baseball. Yeah. And they're both, you know, burning up the field, 330 batting average, whatever, healthy home run output and so forth. Who's going to get the contract?
Well, the blacks almost always are going to get the contract. And something like baseball, they would definitely, because for whatever reason, American blacks stopped playing baseball largely. And so Major League Baseball has been distraught about that.
It's
forever.
True.
I mean, in fact, my first in my novel, The Unreals, when it was first published, the little publisher I had, he started giving part of the proceeds or something, not out of me, but from the publishers, I think it was RBO, something like Return Baseball to the Inner Cities or something like that. And I thought, and I had to pretend I was on board. It's just so stupid. But if you look at Major League Baseball, they're still part of the Great Replacement, because the idea is to replace whites at all levels. And in Major League Baseball, they're using Hispanics for that. So if you look at the Major League Baseball, most of them look black, but they're not considered black because they're not African American. So, you look at football, and I can tell you the analysis that, I mean, they literally every year, they have an absolute quota system in the NFL. It's the same person, right around within a 1 or 2 percentage mark of white players allowed in the league year after year, same amount for every players drafted out of college. So many great athletes get screwed. And, since they have the combines now, people have access to the public records of the physical performance of these guys. Because again, we've always assumed the stereotype is, well, just blacks are naturally, they're faster, they can jump higher. White men can't jump and all that nonsense. Well, it turns out that white men can jump actually. And there's lots of data to prove it. I mean, I year after year at these combines, you have white players who jump higher than the black players, who run as faster than the black players. And they have a whole host of other, like, shuttles and things that are more important in terms of how you perform on the football field. The 40-yard dash is just a straight dash. It's pretty meaningless. You know, the one-tenth of one
second. You don't run in a straight line in the NFL. Just doesn't happen.
Right, right. So the lateral movement and all that, the shuttle drills that they do, the whites shine in all the time. And often now they don't even let you get the results. They hide the results because they reflect too well on white players. And it's just a shame. I can give you the names of so many players that have been absolutely screwed over by the NFL and for the rest of the league. And ironically, the NBA is becoming a little bit like Major League Baseball. I don't know why, but for whether Jason Whitlock, you know, the great black podcaster, is the only one that talks about these things out there. And, He talks about there, like, the NBA draft they just had recently. I think it was something like 6 of the first 9 picks were either from Europe and like half black or white Americans. I mean, they're running out of
interesting,
black Americans.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the NBA, if you look at it, is really the same things happening there that happened in baseball, where you had a lot of foreigners. And you have more whites because and I don't know why that would be, because the NFL is getting blacker and blacker. So, it's an interesting phenomenon. But as a sports fan, you know, when I watch it, it just...
Well, what's the average life expectancy of an NFL running back? Or should you say running black?
Yeah, 3-4 years, something like that. But yeah, you're right. And these guys, because of the contact they hit, you read about NFL, ex-NFL players dying all the time. They don't have a long life expectancy for the most part.
No.
And again, because they're taking lots of hits, and it's not good for the natural.
Did you see that, Don, did you see that story? Somebody designed a new helmet which has padding on the outside of it, and it looked very smart to me, like the first real innovative design change in helmets in a long time. It was padded on the outside, so it couldn't be used as a weapon as much, but more than that, it would absorb the impact from external hits on the head.
Well, that would be good, but part of the problem with football is that, and again, it's like basketball. The ghetto culture, the inner city culture, has circumvented the rules. And again, because the white authority figures won't make black players that want to play ghetto style, they just let them do it. So in basketball, they gave up on traveling and double dribble and the contact of the paint and all that a long time ago because they just allow it and they don't call it. And the same thing in football, where they the coaches started instructing players, put a hat on them, they call it. And, you know, when we were young, you know, you're taught you lead with your shoulder. You don't, the last thing you want to do is lead with your head. Because, you know, that could, especially, but they all do. All the black players do. And I guess the white players do as well. And that's why you get so many injuries. Because it's bad
technique.
No, it's
crazy. I don't know what they're doing. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, we will not have, think about this, we will not have another Jim Brown, Gail Sayers, Walter Payton, I hate to say it, but O.J., we're not going to have people like that. The NFL grinds them up too quickly. It won't happen. It's not to say the NFL was bad in the old days. I think the NFL was more civil in some ways in the old ways.
Well, it was tough, but it was clean. And I mean, there was dirty play, but the problem is because of the technique.
No, not like now, I don't think.
No, you didn't see the kinds of injuries that you have, because back then you didn't have defensive players were not trying for the highlights, the sports center. You know, they weren't trying to spear players and lead with their head so they get a big hit. Instead, they were trying to wrap up and tackle. Nobody wraps up and tackles in the NFL.
No, I don't see it.
No. And again, it's not part of the black style.
Well, that's part of the Roman Colosseum. It's the evolution back to the Roman Colosseum. And these whatever happened to the was it the New England safety? Can't remember. I never remember the guy's name, who supposedly died on the field 3 times before they could get him out to the hospital.
Oh, DeMar Hamlin. Yeah,
DeMar Hamlin.
Buffalo. Yeah, I wrote about that last year on Substack because I was very dubious of the entire story.
You notice that story is completely gone.
Oh yeah, he's supposedly still in the league, but he doesn't really play. And there were problems with the ambulance lights not being on, and it's a very bizarre story. I mean, in the conspiracy world, people either thought he died and they covered it up, or
if the reports are correct and his heart stopped 3 times before he got to the hospital, he died 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, it was if you remember, they staged a big thing about, I don't know, a few weeks after that or something, where he made his big comeback, where he came to the stadium to watch the Bills play, watch his team play, and he wore this ridiculous hoodie. Nah. His face was entirely covered, and he wouldn't talk to anybody. He was surrounded by security, they had him up. He should have been, the camera should have been focused on him. He should have been smiling and waving, great human. No, nothing like that. He was sitting in one of the sky suites, and even in the sky suite he was filmed, he still had his whole face covered. So it's very strange. And of course, the people that are skeptical of all this thinking, obviously that wasn't him.
We don't know. He's just he's one of Joe Biden's doubles. He was just picking up a little extra money.
Yeah, well, that's certainly what it seemed like. And so I don't know, what the story was that. But, you know, I think I read about, wasn't it?
Once you get shot up, and you start throwing amyloid clots and strokes and it stops your heart, you do not come back from that. We're not seeing any cases of that. And we've been covering this for over 4 years now. It just doesn't happen.
So, but it's still amazing that it's not, because it's still affecting athletes around the world. I think there was a badminton player, a cricket, or something that recently dropped dead on the field. It's happened so many times with soccer players, and it's happened with high school players, Cosmer, but it hasn't happened with professional athletes in America, except for that guy, maybe. And the law of averages, that doesn't make any sense.
We all know, don't we, that there's so much money involved with pro sports that they rolled out the saline injections, shall we just call them that? Those guys didn't get shot up with Pfizer. They'd all be dying now.
Right. Well, they had to, because I said at the time, boy, they're not gonna be able to cover this up if they start dropping dead like they were doing in England around the world.
No.
And they didn't.
They had team shot day, and they all got placebos, and that's how they do it. There's too much money involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was, I've been a huge sports fanatic all my life. I mean, the story I'm following, I never thought I'd say this. And again, it's thanks to Jason Whitlock. It's just a human interest story. Is this Caitlin Clark, the WNBA?
As a journalist, I concur. And I actually am kind of watching it out of the corner of my eye to see.
Yeah.
They got these dumb black dyke bitches who are beating the hell out of this girl.
Yeah.
And making themselves look like animals, stupid, and all the rest of it. And she's just trying to play ball. She loves the sport.
Yeah.
Now these are racist attacks on her. Go ahead.
They are, and they're not. And it's just as important, perhaps, again, as the lesbian. Like Jason Whitlock says, that people don't realize the WNBA has been kept afloat by the NBA, which is kept afloat by corporate America. So corporate America is keeping this league. It's lost money for 23 straight years. Every year, it's never made money. It loses big money. Nobody knows who the players are. Nobody cares. It's at least one third of the players are openly lesbian. Some of them are dating and married to the other player. I mean, it's ridiculous. No family can relate to it.
No.
So into this.
Now they got a great white hope.
Yeah, and she's so clean. She reminds. It's very much similar to Tim Tebow, except she doesn't. She doesn't get down and pray or anything like that. But she's so humble. She's so nice, and
she's a kind soul.
Yeah, totally, and it's so
brilliant at her game and dedicated to it, and will not put down the opposition, even when the opposition punches her out.
She's always classy. Turns the other cheek, and she's bringing all these little white girls out of the woodwork who are coming from all over the country to see her. She's signing every autograph.
It's true.
It's heartwarming.
No, it's great for women. This is a good thing. Very good.
Yeah, and they hate it because she's not only white, because a lot of the people that hate her are white too, but she's not a lesbian. And yesterday
that's
she won
the biggest thing that's not talked about. And thank you for mentioning it. You're correct.
Well, she could be white. She could be white. She didn't even have to be a lesbian, but if she's not a lesbian, she has to be like some of the others who aren't lesbians. And she has to be a social justice warrior and make the right comments and talk about how great all the black players are and how much they owe them and all that nonsense. Caitlin Clark just wants to play basketball. So yesterday was really wonderful to see. She won. She played great and beat this Diana Taurasi, who is considered the great. And she's white, but she looks. When you have David Icke on, ask him if he thinks Diana Taurasi is part reptilian. She looks reptilian to me, but she's very.
I don't know who these people are. Let me look.
I didn't either. But I heard the name of when I
spelled Taurasi.
Taurasi, T-A-U-R-O-S-I, I think. But she hated this Caitlin Clark and made all these snide comments about her. Well, Caitlin Clark, they beat her, and so she did give her credit after the game. So it'll be interesting to see now, because Caitlin Clark's own teammates have been trying to sabotage her, and her own coach.
Woman, I'm sorry, I don't care if it's a man or a woman. It does look a little suspect.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to get into a fight with that.
Oh, no. Yeah, she's very, and of course, obviously, lesbian. So, it was wonderful to see that. But that's, I never in a million years thought, I haven't watched women's basketball since I was coaching my daughter's teams when she was a little girl.
I coached sixth grade elementary girls' sports, basketball, kickball. We played kickball instead of football, softball, and track for six years. And it was wonderful. Just great young athletes, wonderful people.
Yeah, it's great. And it was a lot of fun, but to see to watch to see how bad the level of play is outside of Caitlin Clark is great. She's a remark. She's so head and shoulders above everybody else there.
Right.
But the rest of them, they can't make layups. It's just terrible. There, it's nobody. And that's why to listen to some of these black players and some of the lesbian grade claiming that it's not just one person, it is Caitlin. Nobody would be watching that. I certainly wouldn't pay 1 second of attention to it.
No, she's literally saving the league or giving it a chance to approach profitability if she hangs in there.
She is. If they, and it looks, but after that big win, that maybe she'll, maybe she'll be allowed to survive. But yeah, she's one of the big stories.
Tarasi's still playing? She can't be. That's 20 years ago when she started playing.
She's 42, yeah, still playing.
Is she playing?
Yeah, I give her credit. Oh. At 42 playing, that takes something. But the if you watch it again, it is very similar to the house league that I was coaching with little girls. Like, the same kind of thing. They can't make layups. The play is so bad. It really is. And but Caitlin Clark is light years above all the others in skills. So it's wonderful to see. And I never, right now she's probably my favorite athlete. And again, I never thought I would say that, but she's just a great story. Remarkable woman. And I love seeing it because, I say bad things about the, females in American society today, especially white women. I think they've been really the ones that accepted the conditioning more than anything. They bought the narrative for all these years. They made it happen with their ability to believe this stupid propaganda. But I hope to be able to get this girl on my show. But I was watching videos today. I've been trying to contact her mother. There's a, I don't know her name. Not Caitlin Clark. She would never come on, I don't think. She's way too big, but I'd love it. But no, this is in another vein. She's like a 15-year-old named Amelia. I don't know the last name. But she and her mother have been giving hell to the Chippewa Valley School Board. And they have all these great tapes. This girl is unbelievable. And she went in there and blasted the school board president for making $400,000 and all the others and saying nearly every teacher makes $100,000 and just had all the results of how poorly they were doing and everything, just chewed them out. And they left and she, said, how dare you leave when I'm talking? And she's great. And she's kind of made a name for herself, but I'm hoping I can get her. Her mom is also talking to and clearly is, the driving force there. But
well, I think your point is really important. And that's Caitlin Clark, whatever they think, it doesn't matter. What she's done for that league and for all women's sports is phenomenal. It's put it on basically in the headlines in sports world, journalism. She's done incredible things. And I I don't care what she is. Chinese doesn't matter to me. But the way she plays the game, the way she comports herself, the language she uses to speak, the grace, the dignity, the integrity, is such a class thing. That is the kind of role model we used to have. You mentioned Babe Ruth. Kids love Babe Ruth. He was that kind of a guy. They all were back then, most of them. And we don't have that anymore. So Caitlin Clark is a throwback, literally going back 50, 60 years to the kind of caliber of athletes that we had. And she is a role model and a damn good one, especially for young girls. It's great.
Right. And I wrote an article not that long ago about white role models and how, when I was a young, all my sports heroes were white. I loved Pete Rose back in the day and, Jack Nicklaus in golf, but you don't have that now. All the role models for a long time from Michael Jordan on, if have been black for the most part. And Tom Brady was pretty much the last, probably the last white superstar we may see. And ironically, the next one may be Caitlin Clark. But and I talked about how important it is, just like, Oprah used to talk about you know, not being able to play with black Barbies. And I understand that. But white kids, especially ones like me back in the day that are interested in sports, you know, we need to see somebody that looks like us playing out there. It's, and I understand why no blacks like hockey or NASCAR. I mean, I wouldn't either. There's not, there's nothing there for me. There's, you know, there's nobody that, nothing I can relate to. And, but you know, people don't talk about that. And it's important. That's why I, again, if I write that book about sports, it'll be the most controversial thing I've ever written, because there's so much discrimination against whites in sports. You would not believe it, that what goes on and has gone on for a long time. And, you know, it's a story, and maybe, you know, people that aren't sports fans might not get into it, but it reflects. And so does the Caitlin Clark thing. It reflects the culture and it reflects what's going on. And I think it's connected to that because, you know, it shows it, what's happening in society spills over into sports, and it's important. Same thing with the entertainment business. You really think that when you turn on the Grammys now, do you really think that all of the top acts, the ones that deserve to be nominated, almost everyone except for Taylor Swift and a couple others, are black? How can that be? That's not possible. That's just simply not possible. You know, all the, where yes. Have all the great white rock and roll acts gone?
Right,
they've disappeared. I mean, there's no such thing as rock and roll now. Basically, if you want to listen to so-called white music,
rap,
you listen
rap
to country.
And roll. It's a joke.
Yeah, I mean, you have country. That's about it. But you don't have you have kind of what I call American Idol style pop.
Well, the Stones, the Beatles, Cream. But
yeah.
No more.
Yeah. No, and it's and I think again, if you even look at like how deep the conspiracy goes, where I'll listen to TV shows or movies, or even like if I'm driving out, which isn't very often, but if I do drive out my sports car, if I have a talk show on, whether it's political or sports, briefly, almost always the bumper music is always some black type of music. Always, mm-hmm. Even though it's
sure it
you
is.
Know it's yeah. Yeah, it's a
well, it's
white
steering us in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
it's just not.
I mean,
no,
you'll
we
never
don't.
You're never going to hear Beach Boy bumper music or Gary Lewis and the Playboys or anything like that. And that just doesn't make sense, because I know those old white guys hosting those shows didn't listen to James Brown and stuff. I just, you know, they didn't. But, and again, I think it's done for a reason. And, you know, I hate to be wrong. So, you know, to keep coming back to race, but it's important. And it's, that's why it's interesting to see people like Jason Whitlock that calls this kind, not exactly that, but he calls out the kind of stuff. And I don't know if you caught, and again, I know people think she's co-opted. Maybe she is, but this Candace Owens, did you see Candace Owens on Jimmy Dore?
No.
I mean, it was.
Go ahead. I'm getting good reports about it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. She, she was talking, she didn't say, but she was mentioning the Holocaust, and she was talking about how many people Stalin murdered, and she was talking about Christians being murdered, how many priests were killed. And she said, I'm tired of as a Christian of constantly hearing only about what happened to Jews and Jews always being the victim.
That's what I heard. She was really laying it out, as she has every right to do.
Yeah, and she's very articulate. She's very, I can see why Ben Shapiro is not going to ever debate her, because she would mop the floor. She's really impressive. So I thought, wow, this is, I mean, she's too big for me to get on my show, but she'd fit right in. I mean, she's really.
I had thought about trying. I think I could get her to come over here, because we're on the same page. I just don't know how to contact her.
Yeah, that's the problem with those people. You don't know how to contact, you know, how to get them. I don't know. There's this guy, Tim Dillon, that's a really big comedian now. He's gone by, and I don't know how to contact him, but one of my researcher, Chris Graves, out there is listening now, and hello to Chris. He does great work for me. He told me a while back that he watches Tim Pool, and my son watches him a lot, too. He's pretty funny. He claimed that he was talking about my book, Hidden History, and that he even mentioned my book, Hidden History, on Joe Rogan, because he's friends with Joe Rogan. And I thought, wow, this is really, but I can't get a hold of him. So I don't know. It's, you know, it's frustrating. That's the problem. Even in the cyber age, you know, we, you can't, unless you can find a working email address for people, and then they might not answer. Most of these people don't answer anyhow. Because you try to, if they have any substantial number of followers on Twitter, they now have this message, you know, that says no DMs, no, you can't direct message them. So, you know, you can't, you don't have their email address. So I don't know how you're supposed to, supposed to get in touch with them. So it's, I guess it's amazing that I've been able to reach the people I have.
Taurasi is married to her former teammate, Penny Taylor.
Yeah.
After 8 years of dating, they got married. In 2018, Penny Taylor, Mrs. Taurasi, gave birth to the couple's son. So they got a donor and they had a had a baby.
So I wonder if the boy will be heterosexual.
And when you get her on your program, you can ask.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd be lining up to come on. Yeah, she'd be. She's a regular listener.
Once again, you mentioned these great white bands. Now, they are, white musicians are now pretty hard-pressed to make it. They can't cut the deals with the big record labels like the blacks can for some reason. You know, here's the deal. Blacks have been marketed through the mainstream media so well that now you look at the commercials, and if you didn't know, you'd think that this country was probably 75% black.
Yes, that's right.
And yet we had such, the big band era, Benny Goodman, et cetera. It goes back as far as you want to go back. The last great big band hit song, it was number two, almost made number one, was Jimmy Dorsey and his big band. Mm-hmm. And let's see if you can name this tune here. I think you probably can. And I know some of you out there will get it immediately, because I played it once before. All right, here.
So Rare, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Dorsey, 1957. Well, the
Jimmy and Tony
the last
Dorsey
big band did. Hit. That was a big number, though. Fun stuff. Nice music.
Yeah, the Dorsey
Nothing
Brothers
offensive.
Are both
Not one four-letter word did I hear in there. Well, I guess rare is a four-letter word, but we'll forget.
But even though, even back when, you know, it's the music world, just like the sports with it, the music world was completely integrated, going back to, you know, Louis Armstrong started in the 20s and 30s in the Harlem Club. Yep. So you had Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong. You had plenty of black musicians that did well. And obviously in the rock era, tons of them did. At Motown, a whole company devoted to them. Plus you had black crossover pop artists. So, but now you don't have, and they're buying it. And when we hear the word diversity, that means the cultural overlords, that means fewer whites. That's what it means. It doesn't mean a plethora of
That's a very good translation,
races.
Don, and you're 100% right. That's exactly what it means.
They will tell you the NBA and the NFL are diversified. They're doing, really? They're like 80% black? And I don't see any Hispanics in there. Maybe a few smattering of Asians once in a great while. That's it. So, I mean, it's there's not diversity, but that's the way
they remember, sports is our bread and circuses. That's what they keep the masses placated with so far, while they're starving them and setting up famine. And that's not a joke.
Right, and that's why, you know, culture is, I write so much about culture, because culture is important to a civilization. You have to have culture. And when you have the people that are, the faces of that culture are almost all black now, and they're not even the largest minority group in America. Hispanics are, and they're growing larger. But why is this one group, why are they dominating? And it's, if they were just naturally superior, I'd say so. But again, if I write that book about sports, you'll see that they're not naturally superior in sports. And it's obvious they're not naturally superior in music. Sure, there are plenty of talented blacks, but not to the extent
let's go back.
Are shut out.
Let's go back to the early blacks who made it on their own. They fought against a system that was white, and they made it. Little Richard, okay? A real pioneer. That guy was amazing. Sure. You know, maybe you don't like his music, and that's fine. Great. The best crooner of the 1950s, easily, hands down, was Tony Williams, the lead singer with the Platters. I mean, Nat King Cole got the big contracts. Tony Williams, in my view, no contest. The guy was absolutely astonishing with that voice. Mm-hmm. There were so many, but these people made it on their own.
Sure.
They didn't get lucky. They had talent. Of course, all musicians in the 50s had talent. When you heard Jackie Wilson singing on Ed Sullivan's show, that was his real voice. That wasn't auto-tuned. Yeah. There was a microphone just out of sight right above his head. And no artifice, no deception. That was talent. These people don't have talent now.
Nope. Absolutely.
It's dreadful. And I feel sorry for younger people who would innately, naturally gravitate towards something that was more sophisticated than an entire song that has six words in it. come on. It's a joke.
Yeah.
And the joke is on us. Don, anything you want to add here?
No, that's it. You know, stay cool out there and keep watching the show. Get your popcorn ready.
Yes, sir.
That's all we can do.
You got it. Okay. Talk next week. Thanks, Don.
All right. Take care.
Mr. Don Jeffries. All right. We will be right back. Hang on.